He is one of South Africa's top labor lawyers. He is a politician and member of parliament. And now you can access Michael Bagrum as he talks law and life on High FM. Join Michael Bagrum at 6 p.m. for Bagrum on Law and Life, 101.9 High FM, 101.9 megahertz of life and law.
Hi, thank you for joining us this evening. I really appreciate it. I am pleased that you're joining us on this cold, wintry day. In Cape Town, it's been raining most of the day, but I know Johannesburg actually been a pleasant, crisp day, so that's probably nicer weather up there than down here. If you want to contact me on my mobile, just WhatsApp, it's 061-895-1019, 061-895-1019. Or if you want to email me, it's bags, B-A-G-S, at highfm1word.com. Please send me your notes, send me a compliment or a big block of wood that you need to hit me with. I don't mind. If you want me to invite a special guest, tell me. Every single Tuesday evening between 6 and 7, I do have a guest. But like I normally do, I start off by referring to a book that I am busy reading. I haven't been through it fully yet, but it's an interesting book. And of course, what's going on now in Israel started making me think once again about the problems that we've had in South Africa. And of course, at the time, you might recall, we had the nuclear bomb in South Africa. And the book is called Peaceful Revolution. It's inside the war room at the negotiations. It was a book that was written by Neil Barnard. Now, you might remember Neil Barnard. He was the inside man at the Nationalist Party at the time and was actually in the inner circle when they were doing the negotiations to hand over. And in fact, what they did do was, at the time, they did have the nuclear bomb in South Africa, and they had agreed to actually dismantle that bomb. But very few of us at the time, I remember thinking back to it myself, I didn't know that South Africa had a nuclear bomb and that they were so sophisticated at the time, obviously with a lot of help from external parties, but they did have the bomb. And in fact, what they did do is they did, to their credit, they dismantled the bomb. So it's an interesting read. It's worthwhile going into it. Neil Barnard, and it's called The Peaceful Revolution. It's still on the bookshelves, from what I understand, although I bought this book many years ago. And I did look into it at the time, but I just thought now that we're talking so much about the nuclear bomb and trying to dismantle it in Iran, what a complicated exercise that was. So it's an interesting book, and I recommend that you go and just have to look at it. You don't have to read the whole book, but have a look at it and see some of the intrigue that was going on at the time here in South Africa. And, of course, how much consternation it caused around the world, like Iran is causing right now. And I have a wonderful guest this evening, someone who's been known to me for many years. It's Rona Solomon. And, Rona, if you don't mind, I'm just going to quickly introduce you to our listeners. And thank you very much for coming on air. I really appreciate it. I know you were born in Cape Town, a good spot. And I also know that you went to Weizmann Primary School in Sea Point, which is part of the Hertzler School bevy of schools. And I know you went for a year then on to Hertzler School, and then you went and matriculated at Ellerslie Girls High School. That was 1976, the year of the riots here in South Africa. I know at the time, and you said so in your CV as well, that you did some short stints of shadowing and working at different hospitals, clinics, and it actually eventually that shadowing that you did took you on to your career of choice, which we're going to talk about tonight. So, Rona, I know that you then started doing nursing as a student nurse, and you began some training at the world-famous Groote Hospital. And you studied at the Carinus Training College. I know that in 1980, you moved up to Johannesburg. You, at that time, obviously wanted to go and pursue your career in public relations and personnel management. And you did a few courses on that. I won't go through all of them But basically, you had always the desire, an inner desire, to be involved in nursing. And, well, at the age of 50, we all have a midlife crisis. You woke up and decided that you wanted to assist your mom, who was ill at the time, and you had to employ nurses and carers, and that began your voyage to your nursing agency with a mission statement of nursing and nurturing. Now, I must tell you, and this rang very true with me, because obviously in our sandwich years, I'm older than you, but in our sandwich years, both my folks at different times got ill and had to get nursed, and we got them nursed at my home. First my mom, who then passed away after 7 years. We had to have round-the-clock nursing, and then a few years later my dad went through the same exercise. Not easy for a family, and I want you to go into a little bit of that, but it's not easy for a family to go through the exercise of nursing, of getting the right nurses, making sure they had the right qualifications, that they knew what my parents wanted. Both very different people. One didn't want anyone around, and the other one wanted people around all the time. It's a difficult exercise, and I take my hat off to you to pursue that career. So if you could just give us a little bit about your background and what led you into this. It's not a career that most people would think of, and not a career that people see. It's a difficult career path. So what made you do this, and what brought you to it, other than your mom needing nursing at the time? Dan, welcome.
Good evening, Mike, and all Hi FM listeners. Thank you for inviting me and having the pleasure to listen to what I have to say. It started when I was 15 and my mom became ill, and having done courses in public relations and personal management and training, I was then able to place staff very quickly in a situation that was required in an urgency situation in the job, in the workplace. Having had the passion for nursing all this time, I decided I needed to do something with my nursing. And when my mom became ill, I was looking for carers, and I found it quite difficult to find the right people or suitable people, people who would sleep on the job, people who wouldn't pitch for work. There were all kinds of things that really perturbed me. And having to have people in your personal space, in your home, when someone is ill, it's bad enough with the pressure of them being ill. And now you have an added person to be in your home. However, with that taking place, I then decided to advertise for carers myself, inviting them all to McDonald's at the time for an ice cream, with hundreds of CVs, and saying, you lick your ice cream while I go through your CV. I pursued my company with the name of Complete Care and decided to employ numerous carers to take care of my mom. With all the carers that are left over, I decided, well, I have a perfect opportunity, and I started my company, and Complete Care Group was born. And that is basically how I started, having the personnel experience and having the medical experience of having nursed and seeing the urgency and what needed to be placed and done in the home. Instead of me doing it and having to go out to work at the same time, I now had other people that I could rely on. And I know there are numerous people, especially in today's times, who have to go to work and leave their family and their loved ones at home and need someone that they can depend on, someone that is qualified, someone that is reliable, someone that is nurturing, loving, and taking the place of the loved ones towards the loved ones. And that is what I decided to do. So, for example, making fresh orange juice for someone in the morning, not everyone knows how to do that, and not everyone knows how to implement that. And that's one of the things I started with, saying that we need to make sure they eat correctly, that they are washed correctly, that they are dressed correctly, that they are moved correctly, that their mobility is taken care of with someone assisting them. And that's what I started doing and how I started doing it.
Okay, so now what we have, and I just want to go backwards a little bit, because I know that a lot of families say, well, my father or my mother, sibling, has got really ill. I'm going to move them into a home, and they will be able to take a lot of that. But more and more people, especially in this day and age, are saying, actually, I don't want my father to go into a home. I'd like to have my father in a friendly, warm home atmosphere. where in fact he had been living for a few years and was more comfortable there. And so the decision, many families, it's a moment of angst for families, and I'm talking from personal experience as well, and so are you. It's a difficult exercise, and that exercise, the family has to come to terms with, can they actually look after the person? Can they look after it properly? We're going to all make mistakes. We're all trying to live lives as well. Many people are in their sandwiches, as I called it. They're bringing up children, and they're looking after parents, and we've all got careers as well. The reality was for me and my family, and obviously you need the family, first of all, to agree to this. The reality was that we said, okay, up to a certain point where we can actually take care of my dad, he will stay at home, and now we need someone to look after him. And I knew his foibles. I knew his personality. I knew what sort of person he would get with. And the decision to try and find someone became almost impossible. And then we got an agency like yours, and we went through literally dozens of nurses. They somehow didn't do what you're doing. They didn't actually look at the family, understand the person, understand the needs of that person, look at the personal circumstances. Now, that's a person of heart, and I presume that's what you go through first. You go through that whole exercise, and I'm just not going to send Josephine to the house and not know who you're going to be looking after. What do you do? You obviously ask a lot of questions, and you go and do that exercise. Tell us a bit about that exercise.
Michael, you're 100% right. So with the incoming call, there are numerous questions that need to be answered. I ensure that every single call that comes through to our offices is transferred through to me eventually. And I'm
going
to
put you, when I put you on hold 1 second, sure. We've got to pay the bills. So just stand still for 1 second.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Thank you. Thanks for being with us this evening. It's Michael Bagram with our wonderful guest, Rona Solomon. Rona was just telling us about her nursing agency and some of the background. First of all, gave us a background as to why she went into it. It was a calling. It was someone of heart. I always say that nurses is a calling. It's much more than a career. Nursing is something that gets to you as an individual. And if it doesn't, then you're not actually providing the service to your clients. And we've also spoke a bit about both of us had parents that needed nursing and needed proper care, and both of us then kept them at home and had nurses looking after them. And Rona was just taking us into the exercise before you actually just dump a nurse and say, what's your address? How long do you need the person for? And cheers, there's the person. You have to ask questions, and Rona was just taking us through that exercise. And sorry I interrupted you there. Go ahead.
Okay, so Michael, what we were actually saying, the call comes through the offices and then gets transferred through to me. So I'm hands-on with every single client that calls in with the potential of what their requirements are. Also, when we deal with the medical aides, they do ask for an assessment to be done. And when an assessment is required to be done, we do send out a registered sister to the client/patient's home in order to get the history and everything else that will be needed to be taken care of, obviously depending on the diagnosis or the circumstances. It's very important to find out about the family and the personality of the patient, because you're not only dealing with the patient, you're living in the home or working in the home of the client or the patient's family. So, for example, you get a patient that doesn't want anyone making a noise and being too vibrant around them, or you'll get another patient that wants someone that's not quiet and that really gets very jovial, someone that goes there that must love the dogs in the family, that's make sure that they don't go to the fridge and take all the food. You've got to make sure that they know how to behave and that they fit the family. Also, you have to know that you have the right kind of nurse that has the experience that is required for that particular patient. For example, if it's someone on drip, you can't just use a care worker. You need a registered nursing sisters. So we have from care workers all the way up to ICU sisters, and we ensure that we have the right personality to fit with the right patient. Also, When the nurse arrives at the patient's home, we phone the client and check that the nurse has arrived. And then a few hours later or the next day, we call back again to say, are you happy with Josephine? Is she doing what she needs to do? If you're not happy, we are more than happy to swap out the nurse for another nurse as many times as possible. But fortunately, it hasn't really happened to us very often. I'd say 99.5% of the time we get it right. So I'm very proud to say and admit that we managed to get the right fit. Having been in the business for almost 15 years, we've learned what the patient needs, what the requirements are, and what kind of nurse would suit that patient. Also, many of our nurses we've recycled over the years. They've been working for us for many, many years. So we get to know them quite well. We don't just put new nurses on new jobs. We have a huge database, but obviously only selected few that we actually use and ensure that they are trained and upskilled regularly so that they know exactly what is happening and how to cope with the different diagnoses and the different situations.
So let me just take you backwards a little bit. When I had to find a nurse, firstly for my mom who had a stroke and then was bedridden, I was a bit at sea. I wasn't sure who to phone, how to phone. I could go into the internet and just pick a company that would provide nursing. It sounded a bit too impersonal for me, and I did phone around. It was difficult. It was very difficult because I'd never been through this exercise before. And basically, it then took a lot of phone calls to friends who had elderly parents and who then, by word of mouth, gave me someone who they thought they could trust. The first person I wasn't happy with, and we had to swap them. I presume most of your referrals are by word of mouth. It doesn't help to have an advert in the Sunday Times, for instance. How does that work? I mean, how do people get to you?
So to be honest with you, my name has been circulated around with a lot of doctors' groups, and because it's been so many years and so many patients, I do get a lot of referrals, fortunately. And the thing is, very often people will try and take on a private nurse who's worked for Mrs. Cohen, and she says, okay, then it should be right for Mr. Jolson. However, it doesn't work that way because what's right for one man is not necessarily right for another home or another person. But coming through an agency, at least you have the benefit of being able to swap out if things aren't right. And this is what we do all the time. Obviously, we do advertise on websites and we do on Google Word, but most of it does come from referrals, word of mouth, doctors, and different groups that we have our name on the groups.
Well, obviously, the best referral any family can get is from their house doctor, their GP, or someone who's been looking after the person in the first place. My doctor at the time actually didn't have someone that he could refer, and it was, of course, through a series of phone calls that I found someone. And then what happened was that first person who gave us the nurses actually didn't bother to actually come and visit us, the agency. And I felt a little bit sort of unsure who they were sending to me. They gave me a name of a person, said the person will be there the next day. You can interview them as well. But what I was hoping for, and I just never got, but I was hoping for is that the person who was placing the nurse would have a discussion, would try and find out more about. Is that part of your protocol? Do you have a proper discussion with the family first? And then, obviously, if you can, with the patient, have a discussion as well. How does it work?
Yes, Michael, we do speak to the family. We don't speak to the patient that often because they're very often not in a position to speak about it. But, the family has so much pressure on them as it is that we try and alleviate the pressure by probing, asking them questions and trying to find out more about the patient, their history, what kind of people they like, what their dislikes are. We get told, no, they use foul language. Please find me someone that will cope with that. And we ensure that we know the nurses well. We upskill the nurses. We ensure that we get to know their personalities. As I said previously, we often do assessments, and the nursing sister will go out there, get the history, get to understand the kind of person that we're dealing with, and then that gets transferred to us. And then what also happens is we organize a group on our cell phones where you have the nurse, the office. Sometimes we put the patient's family in. Sometimes when we feel it's not necessary, we don't. But we keep on keeping notes, and everyone is in the loop of what is happening with the patient's condition, whether it's physical, mental, and even sometimes with the doctors that are on the group with us. And that is how we continue doing our things. So we have an updated history of exactly what's going on and what medicines they've been on, any new scripts, any new doctor's interventions, if they've gone to see a doctor.
Those are the kind of things that we learn and
that we keep abreast with.
The bottom line is it's very reassuring. I'm looking at it from the point of view of the son of the patient. It's very reassuring to know that someone actually is keeping updated of what's going on. At a certain point of my dad's illness and as it progressed, we thought that we weren't going to cope at home. In fact, I got quite nervous that if something went wrong, I wouldn't be able to react quickly. So we have an aged home in Cape Town called Highlands House. And it's a decent aged home. It's a decent place. It's been upgraded. It's over the years, it's been, looks like a good home. Well, so we obviously spoke to my dad about it. He convinced him to go there. And we also convinced him because he'd gone quite used to and very fond of his three nurses that he had on, they were on different shifts. We actually had four, but it was the three that he was fond of. And so we reassured him that they would come with him to Highlands House, get him a room. He was getting a bit senile at that point, and when he moved in, he asked me if this is his hotel. And I said, yes, let's try it out. I went to visit him, obviously, about 4 or 5 hours later, and he was unhappy with the hotel. He didn't like it too much. And I said, look, let's try and give it a little bit of time. Let's give it overnight. Let's see how we can work it and see if things are good. I went there next morning, and at least he was feeling a little bit more secure because he had his nurse with him that he was used to. And I went in there the next morning, and he said, "No, he's had enough of this holiday. He's coming home." And I said, come on, can I try one more day? Just one more day, let's see. And because I was nervous with him being at home that something would go wrong and I wouldn't know what to do. Next day, I got a call from Highlands House to say that your father's disappeared and we can't find the nurse either. What had happened was, and this is just how headstrong some people are, and you probably have this all the time, he had phoned the driver, my office driver. He had his phone. I left him with his cell phone, and he'd phoned my office driver. He had his phone number in his phone and said, listen, he's had enough of this place. It's not for him. He must come and fetch him and take him home, which, of course, the driver did that. I mean, the old man was phoning him, and he'd worked for the old man as well for many years, and he brought them home. We went on a wild goose chase trying to find out where he'd gone walking to and what he had done. Only when I came home to go and fetch his ID and things, because I was going to go to the police because he had went walkabout, did I find him at home with a big grin on his face saying he's come back from his holiday. It wasn't very pleasant at that place. But someone's moved his furniture around. Do I think that there was a burglar? Of course, what we had done, we started cleaning the place. And that told me a story that he's not going anywhere. He's not going to be happy anywhere else. And those nurses were the cornerstone of his life at that point. He wanted them always there. He wanted someone always around. Now, I presume you have quirky personalities with everyone and your quirks. I mean, I've got a lot of quirks, and I'm 68 years old. I would suspect in 5 years' time I'll be a lot worse. So do you have that? Do you have your nurses reporting to you, sort of people going walkabout, people doing strange things? And let me know what happens. They get an inside story. Or was it just my father?
Mike, I must be honest, we don't often hear about these things. But when patients are in hospital and they get admitted, the family often will call us and say, please, can you provide nurses in the hospital to take special care of my parent or my family, because you know, because there are so many people in the ward and the nurses can't be with them all the time, they want to ensure that there's someone right there by the side that can pour their water, that can puff their pillow, that can do the extra little things for them. So we often have nurses actually going into the hospital environment, obviously getting permission from management of the hospital before we do that. They're not allowed to intervene with actual medical care or medicines, but they are allowed to do the little things and just be there for the patient. And then now we have a blind man who cannot do anything for himself. His family are far away. And these nurses that are with him are his lifeline. They are part of his life. They do every single thing for him. And I think that a lot of families realize that the patient becomes very attached to the nurse and the nurses become part of their family. Fortunately, they don't run away very often. I suppose, I don't know, your dad was very special, very different, very smart.
A typical Bagram, unfortunately, because he marched off not announcing to anyone. It does take me to that next point where, you know, when people obviously go into a hospital or into aged home or whatever, the reality is that things at that age do go wrong. Medical problems do appear and then circumstances change with the patient. At that point, do the doctors get hold of you and instruct you more or less what you have to do, different medication, different types of exercise to keep someone from getting bed sores and that sort of thing? I presume that you go through that exercise as well, where you get upgraded to maybe from an ordinary nurse to a more qualified nurse or something of that nature.
Definitely, Michael. We are, first of all, there's always a diary that is kept in the home as well as on the cell phone, where one nurse will hand over to another nurse. For example, the day nurse will hand over to the night nurse of exactly what's transpired during the day. If the patient suddenly became weaker or wasn't well, that's number one. Number two, we ensure all the time that we are definitely ensuring that bed sores do not happen with us, because that is not good nursing. So we ensure that the nurses record that they are rubbed down, that they are washed, that they are cleaned, that they are turned regularly. If we find, we also have sisters, doctors, occupational therapists, physiotherapists that are able to travel to the home of the patient. So if we need a doctor, we have doctors on call that work together with us and not part of our company. We have the same synergy and they will go out to the patient's home. And then if necessary, the doctor will say, yes, this patient needs a drip. We need to ensure that we upgrade to a different kind of nurse, to a nursing sister. Sometimes the patient needs to go into hospital. If it's palliative care and the patient doesn't want to go to hospital, doesn't want invasive therapy any longer, we ensure that we just get a nurse of higher standard who's more qualified to ensure that they're there for the patient, to take care of the patient with extra special things that they might require.
I just wanted to tell another personal story with my mom. My mom had moved into a private hospital for an operation. She had to have, I can't remember exactly what it was, but she had to have an operation that developed into a situation where she needed it urgently. And she had gone to, in fact, a very fancy hospital. I won't say the name because it's a bit horrible to say this, but what had happened was the next morning after the operation, my sister Abigail had gone to visit my mom quite early, and when she arrived there, it was about 8:30 in the morning. She found that my mom was still asleep and that the breakfast which had been served to her at 5 o'clock was ice cold, and that no nurse had actually looked at her, had done anything at all. And she tried to wake my mom up, couldn't get her up, and of course then pressed the emergency button and they came running or whatever. And she said, look, we can't wake her, what's going on? They found that she'd had a stroke probably an hour or two beforehand and no one had actually been there. And, you know, obviously we talked about suing the hospital and this and that, whatever. We didn't want to go through with that nightmare. And that's when she had her major stroke. Entirely their fault, because the nurse wasn't, from what we understood, about 2.5 hours. They had delivered the breakfast and left it. And 2.5 hours later, so what I'm trying to say is that often it's actually easier if you do have your own nurse there. Because if we had had our own nurse then follow her in, but we thought she's going to ICU, she's going to be in intensive care, we won't need a private nurse to sit there. But of course we did. We needed one because it doesn't matter how fancy the hospital, you don't have that personal care there. And I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but I recommend to people that they do have their own nurse, even if it's an oversight and not actually doing the nursing. Do you provide that service as well?
Yes, Michael, you actually spot on. You're 100% correct. When my mom was in hospital, I had day and night nurses. I had to get special permission to ensure that there was someone watching over her. With respect, the hospitals are busy. There are many people, and the nurses have a
I'm going to stop you there. Job. Can I stop you there? We're going to jump off the platform, and we're going to come back on, dial back in 1 minute.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Thank you. Thanks for being with us this evening. It's Michael Bagram every Tuesday evening between 6 and 7. And every Tuesday evening, you can contact me on by WhatsApp 061-895-1019. Or you can email on bags@highfm.com. Highfm, one word, bags@highfm.com. And come with some suggestions. Well, this evening, I'm with a wonderful guest, absolutely delightful. And going through some of the background to her career. And she runs a nursing agency and supplies nurses in all sorts of circumstances. Rona Solomon has been taking us through some of the interesting foibles and some of the ways in which she does business. And it's done, it's business with heart. It's an interesting exercise, interesting for all of us that have parents that are ill, siblings that are ill, people that need help, whether it's short or long term. And we're going through this exercise. Now, what we were talking about just before we broke off for the advert was how Rona actually does the business, how she gets involved with the family, gets involved with the patient, gets involved with the medical practitioners who give some guidance, and obviously very carefully goes through the background to the actual nurse. And she was explaining that many of the nursing staff have been with her for many, many years. She knows them well, trusts them, and the exercise becomes seamless. Whereas when I had to go through that exercise, it was a complicated business for me as a lay individual looking after my parents. And of course, the staff that you get from Rona Solomon is normally people that she's actually vetted herself and also vetted what the problems were and how it should be done. Now, obviously, Rona and I just want to take you back again because it's an issue that I've often thought about. I presume when you interview nurses, you go through their CVs correctly, you go through their previous history, you assess their personalities. Because a lot of people report to me that when they get nurses in the home, the nurses often steal things, the nurses often sleep on the job, that sort of thing, because nurses you don't know. And in fact, what I'm understanding from a lot of people that I know is that sometimes the agencies don't even know the nurse themselves. They're busy, they're stretched, and they just send someone in. Tell us a little bit about that piece of background. Can we get some reassurance that these are people that you properly look at yourself personally?
Michael, a lot of these people I used during the period of COVID as well, actually, because during COVID, we were the only agency that were actually operational, you know, providing PPR and making sure we took care of patients that were not able to be admitted into hospital because the hospital was so full. But as I said, we've got to know these nurses very, very well. Obviously, there's no guarantee, you know, no guarantee. But we know that these people that have worked at night, they don't sleep on the job. We've used them over and over again. We know that reliable. We know that they care. We know that they don't steal. We know, you know, there's never a guarantee, but we know them because we've worked with them and we're trusting them. We keep on,
you know, refreshing them and upgrading them to ensure that they know what they have to do, how they have to do it, and, you know, how they react in circumstances and how they behave in people's homes. We're not there to come to people's homes as a guest house. We're there to take care of people and take the pressure off them, not to put pressure onto them.
Your own personality, in other words, you're a person that should be able to read people carefully. You should be in a situation where after sitting half an hour with a nurse, having had a chat to a nurse, you probably say, actually, this person's not a caring type, or this person somehow is vague or not looking in the eye. I know in my type of job, because I'm often recruiting people in HR for my clients, I'm looking at an HR practitioner that they told me, come in because this is the person that's going to work with you when you go to the labor court, that when you go to the CCMA, this is going to be the inside person. I've got a feel for who's going to be good at that job, who's got the nerve to do the HR, who can hire and fire, who can do that. I get that feel. I've been doing it for 40 years. You've been doing it now for over 15 years. Do you get that? There's like a third sense that you know what you're dealing with. Difficult for me to explain what it is, but you just get a feel for it.
Michael, you're absolutely correct. It's not even a feel. It's an energy that is transferred from the personality. And this is the kind of person that I would want to look after me or my family. This is the kind of person I would choose. So someone that is jumping around and too vibrant and that doesn't know decorum and doesn't know how to behave or doesn't look you straight in the face or doesn't smile or doesn't speak with compassion and care, that is not the kind of person I want. And I probably have 130,000 to 140,000 people on my books over the last 15 years because every single day I get at least 20 to 30 carers phoning to see if they could join the agency. And unfortunately, I'd love to help them all, but unfortunately, I cannot because they're not all suited to do what has to be done. And I have the reputation of my agency to ensure that I have the right people with the right fit for the client to nurture and care for them and to make sure that they're loved and protected in every way and looked after.
Let me just put another scenario to you. You've got a nurse looking after an old woman. The nurse is good. The nurse then phones up and says, I'm sick. We're going to have an ad break now. Let's give them 1 minute to stay on air, but let's give them a minute to pay the bills.
IFM 101.9 megahertz of life.
Hi, thank you. And please support our advertisers. We need them, and we need the support for our station to keep it going. I'm here with Rona Solomon. I'm talking about her nursing agency. Rona, I just wanted to put a question to him. We're coming to the witching hour, unfortunately. Our program's coming to an end, but I deal a lot with security companies, and you can't have a highly secured building where suddenly someone has to take over from one security guard to the next, and the security guard doesn't arrive. And so the previous security guard who wants to go off duty now because he's been on duty for 12 hours, sometimes he just walks and leaves a gap in the security. Now, I presume with your agency, you can't even take that risk. You can't have a patient sitting there with no nurse. Have you ever experienced that? And do you have people who can jump in at the last minute and say, don't go, I'm going to be there in 20 minutes. Please don't move, and we can't leave. I mean, this is a person who needs constant care. Do you ever have that situation?
Michael, we've ensured that our nurses are trained and understand that they are not allowed to leave until someone takes over from them. And we always, when we start a job, we always ensure that we follow the person that from 4 or 5 in the morning, my manager, Audrey, will phone the nurse and check how far she is. Has she left home? Is she in a taxi? Where's the taxi? What time can she be expected to arrive at work? We also have a plan B in place whenever we start a new job. So in other words, we know that if one nurse is not there, we do have a backup of a plan B. That's the second thing we do. And then also, if someone is not ill, part of our contract says we will ensure that you have someone there within 2 hours. If necessary, we'll get there in an Uber, and we will cover the cost to ensure that they're there on time and that the patient is never left alone without anyone taking care of them. That is our responsibility as an agency, and we cannot afford to leave a patient uncared for.
Okay, and then obviously your nurses daily, you say you keep a book or a diary, they obviously write down and say, your mom is fine, this is what she had for lunch, this is any ailment that she complained of during the day, I could recommend that maybe we find the doctor or something like that. So you have that record that you keep, you don't expunge the record so that we know what's going on a daily basis, even from hour to hour. Is that what happens?
That is absolutely correct. So we have two keepings of notes and of what has transpired. One in the home with the notebook, patient complained about a sore finger, given three Panadas. 2 hours later, doctor was called, awaiting doctor to arrive, so that when the family comes home or at the time the family can be called and be kept in the loop of exactly what's going on. And also if they are on the WhatsApp with us, they can also see what's going on. So everyone knows what is happening. And then from one nurse to another, as I said previously, a record is kept and they actually hand over to each other. Before they leave, they have to have a discussion and have a proper handover of what has transpired during the day.
Thank you. Rona, we're coming to the end of our show. I understand that. Thank you. We're coming to the end. I want to thank you. Do you mind sharing with us the details of your business and your email address? If you don't mind, maybe a phone number. You don't have to give it. Some people don't want to, but please, I think it might be useful for one or two people who are listening tonight.
I also want to add that we do night nurses for babies as well. We've been doing that for many, many years as well. The name of the company, Michael, is Complete Care Group. It's a nursing agency based in Sandton. However, we do work nationally throughout South Africa, even in Blikkiesfontein. The email address is nurses@completecare.co.za or info@completecare.co.za. My personal email address is rsolomon2014@gmail.com. And also, my office number is 011-656-2254 or 2206. My cell number, 079-8108-400. I'm available 24 hours a day. My phone is always on.
Well, thank you very much. When you say Complete Care, is that one word in your...
It is one word, yes.
Ah, okay. This, Rona, it's now for me to thank you. Thanks for blessing us with your presence here this evening. I really appreciate it. So thank you ever so much. I really appreciate it. So,
sorry, Michael. It's not .com. It's .co.za. Complete care.co.za. Apologies for that.
Okay. Oh, well, you would have got it wrong. So, but thank you very much. And
thank you, Michael.
Look forward to hearing from you again in the near future. Thank you very much. And I'm handing back to the studio. Thank you.